South Dakota by Harrison Walker. I had just arrived at South Dakota and there was no humidity, but then I felt something pierce the back of my neck. Smack! What was that? Byron, the leader, or the chief of the Lakota, walked up to me and said in a casual tone, "The mosquitoes down here are horrible. Some of us have gotten diseases from them, too," Byron said. As soon as he said it, I knew that it was going to be an interesting trip. "That's just great. Is there any more animals that I need to worry about?" "The rattlesnakes down here are very bad at this time of year. But don't worry, your hands turn purple for like a day. It's not that bad," Byron said with no worries in his voice whatsoever. As soon as I walked up into my sleeping area, I saw four traps. "Do the mice ever come in here?" "Only if you bring food," Byron said. When he said that, I knew it was going to be a week to remember. The day I arrived at South Dakota, the Lakota people were in a huge line to greet us. I had only been to South Dakota one other time for a mission trip and almost had forgotten all these people's names, but they had seemed to remember all of our names. When I finally got my bags and got into my sleeping place, I thought I'd be able to rest from the 13-hour drive. But then Jordan, who was like our team leader and was super calm, but always wanted us to get stuff done, said that I needed to help with dinner. "Yay, I just love doing dishes, Jordan," I said in the most sarcastic voice. All Jordan could do was laugh and walk away into the mess hall. The mess hall is not how you would describe a clean place. When the people before us had arrived, it had been littered with dead mice and unclean floors. When we had gotten done with dinner, Larry, which was our bus driver and project manager, bring me and a few others to tell us what the plan was for the next week. Larry said that tomorrow wouldn't be that bad because we'd just have to fill holes with dirt, and I thought it'd be easy. The next day came, and I was awoken at 5:30 and told to go eat breakfast and get outside as quickly as possible. For an easy day, this didn't seem too pleasing. I ate breakfast and went outside. When I got outside, I could see these massive 6x6 holes that had been filled with water from the rain the night before. Larry told me to lay a board down and scoop the water out. I did as he said, but when the water started to drain, I could see these little white bugs squirming around in the muck. As I got closer, there were maggots. I went down to scoop them out, and the mosquitoes seemed to be attacking me because I was taking these disgusting creatures from that pit. That was only the beginning of the longest day of my life. I went to get the shovels and started to scoop the dirt, but it felt like I was scooping up rocks. I went to stick my shovel in the dirt, and I got stuck a centimeter in. The dirt had clumped together from the rain. It took us 3 hours to break up all the dirt, and we had to still not filled any of the holes. We got to work and finally had filled all the holes, and I could smell the hot dogs from all the way outside. My mouth started to water instantly, but they told me I had to wait, so I just went and played with the kids and waited until the next day came. Over the next few hours, seemed to go by weeks, the sun was out all day. Even when it was time to go to bed, the sun was still setting, and I would go to bed every night at 10 o'clock. "Wake up, wake up," I saw a voice said. "Chill, it's still 6 in the morning. Harrison, you slept in late. It's 8 o'clock, and we have work to do." My eyes darted open, and it felt like I had almost jumped out of my bed and sprinted to get my towel and things because I still hadn't taken a shower to get ready for the day. All that I remember from the morning is telling one of the leaders that I wanted blueberry pancakes, and then I was at the door setting up beams for the base of the room. When I got outside to get my tools, Larry had told me to get the nails because the nail gun would damage the boards, and as I reached down, I was stabbed by 4 nails, and it burned terribly. I went inside to get my hand wrapped, and I was back at it. "Harrison, hurry up and get up on the bus to go to school," Laura screamed. She had been our cook and like a mother figure that whole trip. We had all completely forgotten that we were signed up to go to the Tahiti school to teach these kids. Ty, Sam, Jordan, and I all got on the bus to go to the school. When we had arrived, the bus person said that we had to greet us and told us that half the school had been shut down due to radiation leakage, and I thought he was kidding at the time, but when you got into the school, these two doors had been boarded up and insulation was everywhere. You would think that these kids had it so bad. When I got in the classroom, they had computers and they had to do these lessons. I was put to learn with Oquan, which was probably one of the most behaved kids I've ever met. But when I saw him start to do these lessons, he looked like he was trying to learn, and I thought it was one of the coolest things I've ever seen. When we got done with the lessons, the kids got to do recess, and the things they had were horrible and the basketballs were deflated, but they were all laughing and enjoying themselves. We left the school, and when we got back, asked me to help finish the flooring part. It took us a few more hours, but we had finally finished. My hands were bloody red from the work, but the whole community had come to stand on this platform and eat dinner with us and have ice cream and enjoy the rest of the time before we left. We even had a community prayer in their language that was quickly dying. The next day we left, and I had to admit it was pretty sad, but they all woke up at 6 in the morning just to see us leave, and I thought that was pretty cool. I learned a lot of things from this trip, like hard work and perseverance. The one thing that impacted me the most was appreciation. These kids and people had beaten up computers and rough schools and not good home lives, but they would make the simplest of things the most fun. If I saw a beaten up barrel, I wouldn't think anything of it, but these kids would take it and make it into this creative, ingenuitive idea and play for hours with a beaten up barrel. These people had nothing, but yet they had everything, and I learned a lot from them on that trip.